good singing all the way around. I noticed it last week that Madeline Albright, 84 years old, had died. Thank God. I'm sorry for her family and all this and that. Talk about an ugly looking, God cussing witch of a woman, Democrat to the core. If she ain't in hell, there ain't one. I always try to let people know and give them a fair shake and so forth and on, because these are people that are wicked. I can't hardly wait to announce when Hillary dies. And if I'm dead and gone, y'all, somebody jump up and down and shout, what's that gal's name that's advertising for one of them travel things? You get a good deal because of the woo factor, and they hope, woo, you know. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Well, yeah, don't be afraid to go ahead and shout. There'll be a few people that'll jump up and down and shout whenever I'm gone, and I don't really give a rip one way or the other. They can jump up and down on my grave. That's what I'm going to be doing. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of 2 Thessalonians, I believe is where we're going to be looking tonight. 1 Thessalonians, that's where it's at. Chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5. Yeah, I want to say that Madeline was secretary to Bill Clinton or something like that and all that. But yeah, just a burr, man. And looked like a bear. Enough about that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you who will also do it. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We pray you'd bind the devil and every demon assigned to hinder. How we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus over these requests that we've mentioned and over those that are lost without God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on this subject here, that man is a trichotomy or a triunity, but he's a trichotomy. That means that you're looking at one person here tonight. And when you look to the right or the left, there's another person there. And then you're looking at a person that's in three parts, all in one body. In fact, over in the book of Genesis, you don't have to turn there, but over in the book of Genesis in chapter number 1, and about verse number 26, whenever God was discussing, he makes the statement and he said, let us, you know who the us is in Genesis 1:26, it's the Father, it's the Son, and it's the Holy Ghost of God. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. You know the reason why? Do you know the reason why? That whenever there's a deer, if you like to deer hunt, whenever a deer comes out and you shoot it, why, it doesn't bother you any. You've got dominion over it. Do you know the reason why that whenever you're catching a fish and so forth and on, and somebody may be screaming and all of that, you know, I'm a vegan, a vegetarian, this and that. Well, aren't you just special then? God gave meat in our diet after the flood came, and so there's something about we need something or another in our diet. But let me say to you the reason why it doesn't bother you to go ahead and catch fish, shoot a bird, this and that, and all of that, and prepare it. It might be that you just need a good mink's nose. But there's a certain amount of people out there that decide they want to be God for you and call you a murderer. But you're no murderer for having to, now you ought not to kill game and waste it. But you're not a murderer. Do you know why? Genesis chapter 1, God gave us dominion over the fowls of the air and the beast of the field and so forth and so on. God created a man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female, they don't like that either, created he them. Now, in this day and hour that we're living in, Folks have gotten it all messed up in their mind because they, most of them, are trying to speak before they ever learn what God had to say. And a lot of them don't even care what God has to say. But in the lesson that we're looking at, God said, and by the way, in our text verse, most of the time when you hear somebody quote it, they're going to have their body, soul, and spirit. They'll say it the backwards way. God begins with your spirit, the whole spirit. You know, before you can ever get saved, God's going to have to set you apart to hear the gospel. You know why the average Baptist don't ever hear whatever God wants them to hear? They're busy fooling with something else, playing a game, doing their phone, this and that, and so forth and on. Leave them alone, they'll play with their phone and go to hell one of these days by and by. They won't be wagging their tail behind them either. In the lesson you're looking at, let me say to you that it's important that you and I can realize and know that when we were made in the image of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, we'll not take time to turn over there, but in the book of 1 John, I believe it's in chapter number 5, is that you'll find out that God mentioned, well, let me just make sure that I'm talking right, and I don't want somebody down the road saying he don't know what he's talking about half the 90% of the time. Well, I've got better 90% regulation, this and that, and so forth and on. But let me say to you that if you will, please, is that there are three that bear record in heaven, and I believe that's in 1 John. I believe it's in chapter 5. And yes, it is. Yes, yes, yes. Somebody give me some kind of a trip to where I can have more woo factor. Verse number 7 of chapter 5 of 1 John. For there are three that bear record in heaven. How many did it say? Three. All right, now he's going to tell you who they are. The Father, the Word. You know who the Word is? I'll give you a hint. He became flesh and dwelt among us according to the book of John, St. John chapter number 1. So that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost. These three are one. Now, in case you can't count, he repeats it and says, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and blood, and these three agree in one. Now, how many is in heaven after the image of God? Three. Who are they? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost of God, or the Holy Spirit of God, one and the same. Now, I want to say that whenever you begin to look into this Bible lesson, you begin to realize is that number one, that we're dealing with, God sanctifying your spirit. Now, if you're saved here tonight, God sets you apart for himself. God, one day, whenever you heard the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached, he began to knock on your heart's door. You got the feeling like there wasn't nobody else around except you and God. You may have got up out of the church pew and went to the house and thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and forget about all of that. I don't like going to that church. It makes me afraid of the condition that I'm in. I believe I'm going to go to Hoop Law and some kind of happy holler church house somewhere. I got to tell you something, that when God gets after you, you'll not be able to escape him and he'll still be on you. He used to follow me to work. And wake me up sometime during the night. I got to say to you that make no mistake about it, God began to commune. Look in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2. I'd lay there in the bed at night, and I didn't know exactly all that I'm talking about here tonight. But in 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, and about verse number 10. All right, notice if you will, please, in this lesson that we're looking at. Now, in verse number 9, here's a passage that people misuse many times, and so you can get it right, but he said, as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Now, you know who that is that hadn't seen that and hadn't heard that? That's a lost person. I realize that you and I don't know all God's done and all he's doing. I know that. But this is not what he's talking about in verse number 9. He's talking about a lost person. And the reason why I know that, look in verse 10. But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, and yea, the deep things of God. The words, the natural man does not have the Spirit of God, and as a result, he doesn't know anything about God. neither can he know him because he's spiritually discerned, but God hath revealed them to us. And then he says, for what man, verse 11, knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now watch this. Is that God said the reason why you know something about God is that the Spirit of God deals with your spirit. That's been set apart, as we learned over there in 1 Thessalonians 5, that's been set apart by God. Whenever you've been set apart and sanctified and set apart by God, I guarantee you, he makes it personal. He makes it real personal. You know why the average Baptist church is deader than 10 o'clock? It's not personal anymore with them. Not personal. In this lesson that you're looking at is that you'll find out that God knows exactly where that it ought to go and exactly where that it ought to be. And let me tell you right now is that when God sanctifies you wholly, our text verse said that that you might be preserved blameless. I got to say to you, it is the Spirit of God that reveals to the spirit of man about God himself and about what you and I need when it concerns spiritual matters and heavenly things. All right, second of all, let's talk about the soul for just a moment, if we might. Back in our text, he said, pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body. All right, the soul. Over in the book of Genesis, don't turn there, chapter 2, verse number 7, when God made the man, created him out of the dust, and he breathed into him the nostrils of life, and he, quote unquote, became a living soul. Now you're looking at tonight, you're looking at in one body, a spirit and a soul. Now if the spirit and the soul leaves the body, the body's not going to move anymore. But notice that, if you will, please, is that in the lesson we're looking at, Matthew, in chapter 16, I'll give you a second to find it. It's a familiar passage that we use over and over again, but sometimes we fail to recognize what all God's trying to say out of that chapter. Now, in this lesson, here's what he says in Matthew, in chapter number 16. Well, I'll tell you what, back up to chapter 10, Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 first. Because let me tell you something, the soul that we're talking about tonight is worth more than all the world's able to offer. In fact, is in Matthew chapter number 10, the Bible said in verse number 28, he says, and fear not them which kill the body. See, there's men that can kill the body, but they are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Now let me say to you that what God's trying to say to you and I, that our souls beyond the reach of anybody, whether they be a murderer or not, but let me tell you, it's not beyond the reach of God to do with it what he will. Matthew 16, turn quickly there. As we look in Matthew in chapter number 16, this is a little familiar passage. Immediately whenever I say Matthew 16, it automatically reminds you of the conversation with Simon Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ, and Jesus telling him, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against them. And so that's one of the things that's dealt there. But notice a little more closely why it's in there in that chapter, no doubt. Because let me tell you, the soul is worth more than things that are in this world. You know what keeps people from coming to know Christ? Too busy for God. Too busy. Nothing wrong with being a hard worker. In fact, is you ought to. Nothing wrong with being a good steward and all of that. In fact, is, you know, we ought to. I can tell you what ends up happening is whenever you find somebody like the rich man that died, lifted up his eyes in hell and went to hell, and the reason being he was too busy for God with himself and all the goods that he wanted to lay up for many years to come. Wasn't nothing wrong with his goods. It was wrong with the fact that he did not receive in his heart the Lord and say, he had a preacher preaching him by the name of Lazarus. Of course, he didn't want to believe him because Lazarus was full of sores and the dogs were licking him and so forth and on. And he was a beggar begging for bread from the rich man's table. In fact, he was just begging for crumbs. But notice, if you will, please, in Matthew chapter 16. And I want you to watch there in about verse number, let's see here. Well, he starts out talking about false religion in chapter 16 of Matthew, in about verse 12. And he warns them about the false doctrine, so forth and on. And then you'll find that in verse number 18, he talks to and says about the church. He warns about false doctrine. You better be careful about that. Then he warns, then he talks about and informs us about upon the church of the living God and the gates of hell. You know what runs with false doctrine? Hellacious being. Yeah. And then he says, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But now look in verse number 26. For what is a man profited if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? See, things in the world, all the world, is not worth what your soul is. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, pay close attention to what we're looking at. First of all, he warns about false doctrine. You know the best safeguard against false doctrine? Church of the living God. See that? And you know what the church will do for you? I'll tell you what it'll do. It'll cause you to grow in grace and love and knowledge, and it'll help preserve you and your soul so you don't give in exchange your soul for something that's of naught. Now I want you to watch this here. If a person dies without the Lord, they're going to hell, and hell awaits them. But my question to that person would be, what was it exactly did you exchange for your soul? We've already read, man can't take away the soul from you. So if you lost your own soul, you traded it for something else. What was it you exchanged it? See that? I don't know about you, but I'm glad to know, and I appreciate the fact God has been so good unto me, and I don't want to move to the right or to the left and so forth and make the wrong decision ever, because I'd like to be in fellowship with God and have him say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. In this lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that, if you will, that nobody can take your soul except the Lord. And let me say to you that whenever he asks, what would you give in exchange for your own soul? I mean, you're in charge. Here we go. And let me say to you that if the soul is worth more than things and so more than the world, I'm glad there's some stability that God has put within us that he had to put. Over there in the book of Hebrews, remember whenever he talked about, the Bible said that there's an anchor for the soul. And did you notice something else in Hebrews whenever he makes that statement there in chapter number 6, I believe it is, and it's in about verse, I don't know, number 9, 19, maybe that's it. Let's look at it. Chapter 6. In verse number 19, here's what the Bible passage says in Hebrews in chapter 6:19. He talks about the hope in verse number 18 that's been set before us, and it's ensured by two immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. But notice in 19, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entered into that within the veil. In other words, you and I have been entered into the veil. While you turn to 1 Peter chapter number 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, is that we've got a hope, an anchor that's sure and that it's steadfast. All right, notice, if you will, 1 Peter chapter number 2, verse 11. And the Bible said there, searching what? Chapter 2, verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from, look at it, from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. There's a battle going on, isn't it?
Yes,
sir. In 1 Peter chapter 4, about verse number 19, same book, verse 19. And he says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls unto him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So the spirits have that God communicates with you and I through our spirit. The soul is the seat of emotion, and the soul is what he saves, and the soul is either what he's going to cast into hell or that he's going to carry up to heaven. All right, let's bring us down to the last little point there, and that's the body. Now, the Bible says that when you and I are looking over there in 2 Corinthians 5 at about verse number 6. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And let me say to you that, if you will, make no mistake about it, is that we're not in His presence as long as we are here in the flesh. And yet you'll find that we are confident, and we are, that whilst that we are at home, we are absent from the Lord. But to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And verse 8 said, we are confident, I say, willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at and you're seeing, is that one of these days, everybody in this building is going to be absent from the body. Now, either you're saved, number one, I hope that's it. You're saved and in heaven with the Lord. Or either you're going to die lost without God, without hope, and drop off into hell, a bottomless pit, a lake of fire where the worm never dies, the fire's never quenched, and you'll be forever without the Lord, one or the other. I want to say to you that whenever we get ready to close, I've got two passages. One of them's in Hebrews again, and it's in chapter number 4, and it's why that we ought to be giving heed to the blessed word of the Lord. Because the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the, look at it, the soul and the spirit, and the joints and the marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom that we have to do. I want to say to you, the word of the Lord, isn't that something? You can't even see the spirit, and you can't see the soul, and yet God somehow or another is able to divide them with the blessed word of the Lord. Amen. Romans in chapter 8, and we're done. Romans chapter 8. In the lesson that we're looking at here, when you look in the book of Romans in chapter number 8, I think about the fact that one of these days that we're going to groan in this body waiting to be delivered while we're here in this flesh. But in Romans chapter 8, verse number 10, as we look at that passage, and the Bible says in verse 10, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. I got to say to you, and make no mistake about it, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I've been saved by the wonderful and the marvelous grace of God. Look in verse 9, Romans 8. But if we are not in the flesh, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. That's something, isn't it? But if Christ be in you, the body's dead because of sin, and the Spirit is life because of righteousness. It's good to be saved and to know the Lord and the free pardon of sin. Man is in three parts. The Bible line is spirit, soul, and body. And let me tell you, I'm glad that whenever I got saved, He's got me lock, stock, and barrel. That's cornbread preaching, and for a Bible truth, spirit, soul, and body. I'm glad to be saved tonight. I know if you're here tonight and you're saved, you are too. That's why you've got a burden for people around you that are not saved, for people that are family. I don't know. I don't spend a lot of time talking to my family and all that. I have in days gone by. You know the best testimony you can give somebody is to let them see you consistently live for God and serving the Lord and doing what's right in the sight of God. That's the best testimony you'll ever have. That'll do more than all the preaching that you can ever do. Now, I'm not saying you ought not to do a little preaching, but I can promise you is that for them to be able to see what Jesus has done in your heart and your life. And let me tell you, we live in a world that starts out, but there are a lot of Alka-Seltzer Baptists that plop, plop, fizz, fizz, they play out. What a relief that is. Don't be like that. Your world, your family's waiting for you to fizzle out. But look at all these years. I bet some of them getting tired of waiting on you. Look at all these years you've been living for God. Trials, troubles, heartaches, death, life, sickness, nothing has been able to separate between you and your God. That's a good deal. All right, let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, we want to thank you for loving us while we were unlovable. I want to thank you for the word of the Lord and the Spirit of God to lead, guide, direct us into all the truth. Thy word is the truth.